Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So on this episode, we'd like to feature an interview I recently recorded with Barbara Millar. If you are a longtime podcast listener, you likely remember that Barbara was one of our first interviewees here on the Exec MBA Podcast. And if you have a chance, or if you haven't heard that interview, I'd recommend go back and listen to it. It gives you a good sense of who Barbara is and the wealth of experience she brings to her current role. She is the assistant dean for our executive MBA program and has worked with executive format students at Darden for over 10 years. And with the start of school just around the corner, if you have been listening to the podcast, you know we are just a few weeks away from starting school. Orientation will be here before you know it. August 11th and 12th is orientation, followed immediately by LR1, that's our first leadership residency, leading with an enterprise perspective. If you know a little bit about the structure of our program, you know that all students, regardless of section, whether they're Charlottesville or Roslyn section, come to Charlottesville at the beginning and end of the program for a week-long leadership residency. The first of these residencies is LR1, and logically, the second one is LR2. So, got LR1 right around the corner, orientation right around the corner, and I sat down to talk with Barbara a little bit more about her advice for students as they start the program and what she's seen through her years of working with executive format students that helps make students be more successful during their time at Darden. Of course, if you're a member of our class of 2020, hopefully you'll be all ears as you check out this podcast. So lots of good information for you. If you're thinking prospectively about starting a program, our program, another program, you may find this conversation helpful too, as there's a lot of discussion about sort of habits and approaches that can be most helpful for students who are balancing a lot, you know, busy lives, home, work, lots going on at school, you know, while pursuing their MBA. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Barbara Millar. Barbara, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brett.
So for those of our listeners who are new to the podcast or haven't had a chance to listen to our prior conversation, tell us just a little bit more about who you are and how you support our executive format students here.
Sure. Well, it's a real pleasure to welcome the class of 2020. I won't tell you how many this is for me of entering students, but every class is unique and special in its own way, and we're really looking forward to welcoming you on August 11th. So my role is pretty, I do three primary. I own several courses that I instruct in, and then I do student life, student advising and counseling, academic work with students, and then alumni outreach. So I typically spend a lot of time both internally with students and externally facing out in our alumni group.
And so we are getting ready for the start of school. It's hard to believe we are about a month from orientation in LR1. We've been sharing advice from current students on the Admitted Student blog. And, you know, there's always a lot of thoughts that our first-year and second-year students have as they reflect on that month or two before they started school. You've been around. You've noted for a few classes at this point. So what would be some of the pieces of advice that you might have for a student who's sitting at home listening to this podcast, got a few weeks ago before the start of school?
So I think there's three things that I would say. The first thing, I would have conversations with my colleagues at work and with my family about, while you don't know yet what it is going to mean, that you are taking on this additional huge component in your life, and that you appreciate them and you appreciate their support as you get ready to ask them to do more for you, whether it's in your home or at work or where in your community, whatever. So I would be having conversations with that to the degree that you can. I think the second thing I would do is I would seriously take a look at the two courses that are launching. So we've already launched Business Fundamentals. This is a course that's designed to help you get ready for several of the courses that will happen in the fall semester. And I can talk a little bit more about that, but don't want to get too much into those details. So I would think seriously about that. And then we're soon going to launch the content for Leadership Residency 1, which is Leading with an Enterprise Perspective. And that course is the whole opening week. So Saturday, Sunday, 11, 12 August, you have orientation, and then boom, we are into the academic course, the first opening 3-credit required course. While we can't require you to do any work before the first day of instruction, and we're very serious about that, my strong advice, and I think any student of the executive program or any alum of the executive program would tell you to do the reading, to really be prepared when you walk in. You're going to spend every day from about 8 in the morning until 5 in the afternoon involved in academic learning, and then in the evening you're going to have a learning team. And somewhere in between there, you're going to go for a walk, go to the gym, have some dinner. So your ability to do a lot of reading in that academic day is going to be very scarce. So again, do the work before you get here. And my third piece of advice, which is going to sound a little contrary to what I just said, is take a break. Like, really just take some time for yourself and for your family, and go away and spend some time doing something fun and relaxing. Read whatever you read for enjoyment, because trust me, once school starts, as you probably are anticipating, there's not going to be a lot of time to read for pleasure as much as reading decision analysis and economics and accounting.
Yeah, one of the pieces of advice from one of our 2018 students just graduated was, whatever the reading you did previously for pleasure will be replaced by Darden cases. So that resonates. So let's talk a little bit more about this idea of communicating with all the various people in your life. This is something the students say over and over again. And it's not just communicating at the outset of the program. Mm-hmm. It's actually communicating while you're in the program throughout. I mean, some of the students talk about having weekly check-in meetings, both with people at work and their family, sit down, review the calendar for the week. I mean, any suggestions?
Yeah, that's a really fine line, and it depends a lot on the people that you work with. So let's talk about work and then talk about family. But the work can be a fine line because, you know, when you leave to come to residency, it's not like the work stops. So if you're the boss, or if you're on a project, you're leading something, or you're carrying the load, when you leave, somebody else is stepping in to do that work for you, typically. And so be really humble and really grateful about that. This is what students tell me all the time, that sometimes they don't recognize that. And when they're re-entering into the workplace, just like they're re-entering into their family life, having spent a weekend with this incredible intellectual stimulation with wonderful classmates and faculty and people surrounding them with very compelling conversations, both inside and outside the classroom. Well, when you go back to work, the people there have been, and at home, have been doing the day-to-day. They've been going to the meetings. They've been carrying on. And again, they might have been carrying your load. So just be really sensitive to how enthusiastic you are in sharing what Darden has shared with you. That said, lots of students that I talk to and alumni talk about the value of taking what they're learning and presenting it at work. So coming back and very carefully saying, you know, things like, I'll give you a perfect example. In quarter one in decision analysis, students are going to learn about decision trees. And decision trees are just a analytical way to reach decisions. And lots of the students probably already know about this. Students will often talk about how once they figure out how to actually draw a decision tree on a whiteboard, that in a staff meeting or a meeting with their boss and people are really trying and grappling with a difficult decision, they get up and say, oh, let me show you something that I learned at Darden. And sharing that in a way that allows people to enter into your knowledge and your curiosity and welcoming that, as opposed to kind of, okay, now I'm gonna lecture you because now I know everything about how to drive good decisions. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, one of the things that, having been around students going through the orientation LR1 transition for the past, I guess, about 3 years, this will be the fourth class that I've been involved in. Yeah, that's right. So having been around that, I think what happens in LR1 sometimes is, you know, as is the way of Darden, you get a lot of material thrown your way right when you get started. And that can feel, you know, a little bit overwhelming at times. And so, you know, can you talk a little bit about that experience of going from like 0 to 60 in that first week, and your advice to students as they sort of get used to the case method and get used to sort of, you know, the challenge of, you know, being in a Darden classroom and some of these things?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. And I always begin with the careful review that has gone into their application. And the fact that they are here means that they have everything that they need to do it. And then we're going to add to that with a learning team and classmates and faculty who are going to guide them through it. Very, very few people arrive at Dart knowing how to do our learning methodology. It is unique to a case method school. And so there's anxiousness and uncertainty, and sometimes people can start looking at the person next to them who may have who may be a CPA, and I'm sitting there, I've never taken an accounting class, and all of a sudden we're in a case in LR1, Chick-fil-A, for example, and they're talking about the accounting and the financial statements of Chick-fil-A, and all of a sudden I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm Brett Twitty's admissions mistake, you know? And that is just not the case. That is just not the case. I will shine, and students who are not accountants will shine in other areas, and I'll learn from the people who have that expertise, and that's what's really important, to just... Even when you're feeling overwhelmed or feeling anxious or like you're not doing a really good job, because it's probably true that at the beginning, it's like learning how to swim. When you first get in the pool, you know, you don't know how to like do the laps, and you'll figure it out, and there's lots of people to support you. But at the end of the day, you have what it takes because of the work that you, Brett, and the admissions committee has done to admit the stellar students that come here, and just try to relax and enjoy it and ask for help. Ask for help. I find that when students can get into jams academically, it's almost always because they feel like if they just work harder, they just work more. And really what they need to do is turn to someone and say, hey, can you help me with this? I'm confused about this. And to a person, folks will help out. I've never heard a story about that. So I would say, like, have confidence in yourself. And then I would also say, and I hope this doesn't sound too... you know, mamby-pamby, but, you know, it's business school, right? So everyone is employed, everyone is working, and so when you can always make the connection back to the organization. So when you get confused around the real details, the real numbers, take the higher point of view and think about, okay, how does this really apply to my work? And you can always find application.
Yeah, the students talk time and again about how you have experts within your class, mm-hmm. right? And it can be hard for people who are extremely successful, right? The people who come to Darden, our executive MBA program, our full-time residential program, are extremely successful mm-hmm. people. It, you know, what they do on their day-to-day, they're really good at it. And so you meet something, you run into something that might be a little bit more challenging or doesn't mm-hmm. come as natural to you. That can be hard to sort of raise your hand and say, mm-hmm. I need help with this. Mm-hmm. But it is worth underscoring the fact that you have true experts sitting in your midst in the classroom, and that's very much the culture of the program.
Right, absolutely. And I think that, again, I always go back to the work that admissions does, because you all admit a group of people who genuinely over time learn to care and support each other. Otherwise, it wouldn't work the way it works. It would be much more competitive, and it's just not that way. And again, I've been here a long time, and I've seen lots of classes come through, and every one of them. It happens in every one of them.
I appreciate the fact that the students really take on this sort of family vibe. Mm-hmm. Like they actually refer to it as mm-hmm. a family, and mm-hmm. it's sort of you look out for each other. Mm-hmm. That is, I think that does start early on. Mm-hmm. You know, and obviously, you have to come and be invested in the experience. But I think the group that self-selects Darden, you know, is experience-oriented, mm-hmm. right? You wouldn't choose case method, mm-hmm. this much classroom discussion, if it was just about the credential at the end, right?
Exactly.
So let's talk just a little bit more about business fundamentals.
Sure.
So this is a relatively new innovation in mm-hmm. the program. Talk to me a little bit more about the reasons for its creation. You had noted that it was connected to sort of some of the early courses that you might encounter in the program.
Yeah, so Business Fundamentals is an online, you know, self-paced 1.5 required course. It's launched, so anyone who wants to go in and look at it, you should be looking at it. And we have this year been very, very thoughtful about saying, so there are 5 or 6 components, and each component has a final quiz, and you have to get a passing grade in order to get the credit. And it's a cumulative final. The finals are all cumulative. So the way that we think about the course is, what do Darden faculty who teach the core courses early on want you, the incoming class, to know and have so that there's an even playing field? So that's what business fundamentals is meant to do. It's also meant to help you, this incoming student, recognize, wow, I really don't know Excel. And if students will tell you anything, you better be at least somewhat proficient in Excel. So the business fundamentals class is going to help you identify that maybe you need to do some more work, and then you could go from there to, okay, I'll take a course in Coursera, or I'll go to my community college, or I'll get a book and like work through some Excel so I come better prepared. So it is all about preparation, which is why, again, we can't require you to do it before you start. That would not be a good thing. And the reason we launch it early is so that if you choose to, you can. Now, none of the final quizzes are available until the opening course, because that would not be a good thing. But there are practice quizzes. So the first three quizzes that are going to be due at the same time that the LR1 deliverable is due are going to be in Excel, economics, and time value of money. Those three quizzes and that content gets you ready for the courses and the conversation that occur during quarter one. That's why it's due earlier, because then the course, you know, it really does fulfill its mission. And then the other components that are due following quarter two and quarter three and four. So accounting is, those are all due at the end of quarter one. But again, if you're thinking about this and it's a little overwhelming, look at the course, look at the three areas, the quizzes, the areas, the components that are going to be due early on, and get to it.
Well, given that we have so many different kinds of people, so many different backgrounds in the class, you get this question all the time from prospective students, right? This non-traditional, traditional background, which mm-hmm. I think most people around MBA admissions would tell you is less applicable. Certainly also, I think when you start talking about executive MBA candidates, right? Lots of different life stages. Some of our students haven't taken a lot of math or business-like classes in mm-hmm. prior educational experiences. I guess it's just nice to know that you have something like this there if you wanted mm-hmm. to start it before school, that you can take a look at it.
Yeah, fundamental is the operative word mm-hmm. in the course title, and it's meant to help you identify, but also to get ready. The faculty don't review it. This is important, because the faculty don't review it. They don't cover the content. The expectation is you're a really smart student. Work on this on your own. Take the quiz, pass the quiz, everybody passes, and then get ready to come full bowl when quarter one starts.
So as we wrap up this episode mm-hmm. of the podcast, obviously the students will have more than just orientation in LR1 with us. And you've been around, you'll have 21 months of the program. And so, you know, when you think about the students who have been most successful here at Darden, mm-hmm. What are some of the traits or habits that they've cultivated over this time or their time at Darden that stand out to you?
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I think, again, I spend a lot of time asking students, how are you doing this? What is the, you know, how are you balancing it? How are you doing? You know, and there's, I think people who are good around discipline and compartmentalizing, time management, and that don't take it too seriously, right? Students will say to me, on any given day, I'm doing more of Darden than I'm doing of work, or I'm doing more work than I'm doing of Darden, and I'm feeling like I'm not feeling good about that because I know I need to do more. And that's just the way it is. This is the thing that we all stand in awe of when we meet the incoming class. It's like you already have a full life. You already have great jobs and great careers, and you might have a family, or you might have community, and you like run marathons and do all the, I mean, it's just amazing what people arrive at this age in their life. They're not like sitting around with nothing to do. And then they take on a full-time graduate program. And so I think what it takes is a real commitment to doing it. a humbleness around you're not going to get it right. You're not going to do it perfectly. It's going to be okay. There are going to be some days when you shine and some days when you're feeling not so shiny, and that you can ask for help and that people will reach out to help you. But the characteristics around time management, a sense of humor, you know, making relationships, really reaching out and being open to building a relationship community across that, across your section, across your format, across the class with all of us. You know, there's going to be, we haven't talked about the team of program that supports the students, but Callie Thompson, who's our program director, she and her team, they're like the cheerleaders, and they take care of so much of what the student experiences so that the student can focus on her her academics and the learning team process and all the rest of it. So I know I'm rambling here because I think it's unique to each person, but I do believe it starts with a commitment and not losing sight of the fact that why you're here, what's important about this, how it's going to make you a better person, not just about your career, but as a contributing leader to, you know, the society of humankind. I mean, I know that sounds pretty lofty, but when people say that the experience is transformative, I see that. I see that in students as they enter and then they graduate. Yeah, I'm not sure I answered the question.
No, I think you did. And the why is always so important when mm-hmm. you take on something that has this kind of scope, right? And 21 months, it flies by. I think we know that. And we talk with our 2019s right now who are over, you know, a year into the program. They're on the downhill side. It flies by, but it can also feel long, too. And it's important to stay in touch with that. That impulse, what led you to business school in the first place?
I want to add this because when you said something, it made me think about this. You know, you and I, we're around the students. You know, you see how hard they're working. You see them, you know, their commitment. And they also have a lot of fun. There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of laughter in the classroom. I know that some of the incoming students have been for a class visit, so I know that they've experienced this. But sometimes students will say to me after I've seen them two or three times, I didn't realize like just how much fun it was going to be. Because learning can be fun if you don't get too much in your own way about, you know, oh, what I don't know. I don't know this. This is challenging for me. And really just relax and say, it'll all work out because you're smart.
That's right. And, you know, I guess Scott Beardsley talks about this, about learning being your ultimate orientation. You know, when you go through you come back to school as an adult learner. You know, what's your real goal, right? Is it to get the best possible grade or is it to get the most out of the class? Yeah. And I think that's always good to keep in mind. I think the thing that strikes me is oftentimes you'll hear from students this idea of not letting perfect be the enemy of good. So that's, you have to give yourself some grace mm-hmm. when you are juggling this many things, right? You've got a home life, and, you know, personal commitments, professional mm-hmm. commitments in school, and you just can't be perfect everywhere.
And the good news is that when you speak it, there'll be someone sitting in the class with you who will say, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you mean. I mean, people have babies and they travel and they have big lives and big jobs. They get promoted. They make lateral moves. They move their homes. I mean, they do a lot of other stuff besides, you know, what they enter with, and they still get through it.
Life does go on while you're in. I mean,
exactly.
some of the classes have had 18, 19, 20 plus children join their families.
That's right, which is amazing. And a great joy to be around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Barbara, thank you so much for coming and sharing your expertise with our podcast listeners. We're so excited for the class of 2020 to start.
Me too.
It's been a wonderful process getting to know them through the admissions and recruitment experience, and hard to believe they will be stepping foot here on grounds in Charlottesville in just about a month.
Yeah, true. Great to talk to you.
Barbara Millar, Assistant Dean for our Executive MBA Program. Of course, as always, we welcome your comments, suggestions, requests, feedback, ideas you have for future podcast episodes. We can be reached by email at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA@darden.virginia.edu. And until next time, thanks for listening.